broadcasting Christian music and gospel
message. Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station. Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome.
And good morning. So glad to have you joining us for Wednesday Live. You are listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida. Keep your dial set right there at 89.9. So glad that you have chosen to make us a part of your day, and we trust that you are having an awesome day. It is a beautiful day outside, and remember to lift Jesus up. When we do that, people will be drawn unto him. We have some wonderful things coming up this morning, and I'm hopeful that maybe I got through to Ken Hobbs. Ken, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
I didn't even say hello to you, so sorry about that. I'm talking and trying to make phone calls at the same time. Ken, welcome. Tell us who you are, what you're doing, and what events are coming up. I know you're down with Dr. Crandall, and some awesome healing encounters have taken place, and you're involved in a lot in Palm Beach County.
I am. Well, yes, like you said, it is a beautiful day here in South Florida. We are so blessed that this truly is the day that he has made, and we're going to rejoice. And we are rejoicing with opportunities to be able to unify South Florida with the first ever prayer event we've done with Dr. Crandall. We've done in the past, had healing encounter nights, and we've kind of remade it, and that we believe that not only, you know, that prayer is the unifier for all people of faith and all people looking for faith, that prayer is what we do without ceasing. And so we are just having on February 4th and 5th, having the Pray South Florida. So anywhere from the Treasure Coast, Palm Beach, as well as all of South Florida, Broward, and even Dade County. We're looking to have an outdoor amphitheater. It's going to be the first Christian event during high season at the Myers Amphitheater in downtown West Palm Beach, and we're very excited about what God's doing.
Excellent. Now, you were telling me something about a prayer walk and some other things that's coming up, so this is going to be 3 days, right? An evening and two days?
Or absolutely. So what we're going to do is that the actual event itself is February 4th and 5th, and it's a free event. We're encouraging people to bring their families, bring people that they work with to come out and check out. We're going to have music, sharing. We're going to have a whole prayer team available there through prayer stations that will be coordinating with us. And then what we're going to do is the first ever, we're trying to unify the churches. And we're going to have what we call a prayer and evangelism training on Friday the 3rd from 3 to 5 at the amphitheater there. We're going to have YWAM, as well as Mike Toby and the Heaven Guy, He's going to be there. They have over 40 years of experience of training on prayer and evangelism. And that's something that not everybody gets every week or every time in their local churches. And we're going to get an idea how they can talk with people, how they can share their faith, and how they can just ask somebody, how can I pray for you? And then we're going to actually walk it out and walk through City Place and Clematis and downtown and kind of do what we call invite evangelism. And have that available. So yeah, we're very excited about doing this and encouraging local churches and local ministries to come partner with us or work with us. There is no cost, and to let's train up the people so we can share the good news.
Now, Ken, talk about the opportunity for churches to set up a tent, a table, a place to minister and communicate, build relationships and network with other believers and leaders, so pastors and church leaders will know how to kind of plan and recognize that this is an event to build the church and build the kingdom. It's not an event to pull people away from the kingdom.
Well, like you know, I'm involved in about four parachurch organizations, ministries, and one of my taglines for Cross Resource Ministries is that we're here to complete the kingdom, not compete. So that is exactly true. I love that you said that we want to have churches, ministries that provide resources to people to come and be involved with us, to come bring a 10x10 white pop-up tent. Our kind of the vision that Dr. Crandall had is to have as the children of Israel encamped around, to have the white pop-up tents and all along the back there, where we're going to have food for the poor, that be there, and they're going to give away free food. We have the Gideons that are going to be there and give away Bibles. And we have other ministries, that are going to be able to, like, Women World Leaders and United Men of Honor, which are men and women groups that have resources for people so that they can represent, because we're here to draw in people like Dr. Crandall is on the radio spot that you have there. We've had people from the bars come over, and they said, I heard the name of Jesus. I felt there was a compelling reason to come over. They either got baptized or recommitted, and we want to be able to send them to the local churches and to feed and resource that, to give them a place, or local ministries that can provide resources for either new believers or seeking believers.
All right, this is really great. And Ken, perhaps maybe next week or as we lead up to this event, we can get Dr. Crandall online, and we'll look forward to having that take place as well. And as always, we thank God for you. Thank God for the brothers that are pulling together in Palm Beach County, looking to bring the walls down and lift Jesus up. You guys do a great job.
Well, we really appreciate WNCL and to be able to help us partner with us like you've always done, Jonathan and David and before. And we just want to be able to just walk alongside and have this. The website is www.praysouthflorida.us. That's www.praysouthflorida.us. And there's a whole partner kit, media information about everything that somebody would need. And if there's an email there, if you have any questions or concerns, you can reach out to me, Ken Hobbs, and I'd love to be able to help as well.
Very good. Very good. We'll look forward to staying in touch with you over the weeks as we approach this. And God bless you. Give our love and support to the kingdom down south.
Oh, we will. Great. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
Take care. Blessings. Bye. And that is our dear friend from Palm Beach County working together with a prayer event, South Florida prayer event. That's pretty awesome. That's coming up. Karen, you've been involved in some of these events.
Mm-hmm. I have been as an observer.
An observer.
Yes. And Dr. Crandall's events, the healing encounters, I've gone to those events.
Yes.
And Dr. Crandall really has a heart for this area. And, to see the churches come together and, to build up the kingdom.
It's truly about the kingdom. It's truly about lifting up Christ. I've been to a few of these events. My wife and I, our family, we love to go out. And we'd like to be a part of what's going on in the kingdom. And it is very family friendly. It's right on the water there at the Meyer Amphitheater area, and it's beautiful. And so this is something that you should put on your calendar, plan to be a part of, and recognize that your church, maybe you're on the Treasure Coast, maybe you are in Fort Pierce, you might be up in Indian River County, because we reach well into Indian River County. You may be a pastor, a board member, but this is an opportunity to mix and build relationships in the kingdom, to lift Jesus up as we pray and believe God for that great awakening. And David, you're always talking about what's coming.
What's coming here? Is revival.
Revival.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Amy is here. And so if she wants to come in, we can welcome her in early. She can hang out with us. Or we do have other guests that are coming. Now, we have sort of a new friendship that's developing. And Alexander, we want to welcome you to WCNO this morning. And we'll get the mic right in front of your face there, because you need to be able to eat that mic for it to work properly. And Alexander, we're talking with you and looking forward to a new program for us. However, you have actually been on radio for a long time. So first of all, let's just start. Who is Alexander? And who is God to you? I like to get people's God stories. That's where I like to start.
Thank you. Thank you for having me this morning. An honor to be here with you, Alex Alfano, with you. I live in Miami, Florida, with my family, my wife and child. And I've been a Christian since my late teens. And when I went to school in Tampa, I was evangelized by on-campus missionaries.
Really?
Yeah, Navigators and others, the Campus Crusade for Christ and other organizations. It made it, I was a ripe age.
You were ready.
Right place. So that was 35 years ago. And now those last 35 years have been in a lot of Christian radio ministry. I was telling you earlier that in addition to Sunday and maybe Wednesday night Bible study, you have Christian radio. And I was one of the early adherence to expository preaching on Christian radio, going all the way back to the late 80s and early 90s when I was just a teen, you know, 19, 20 year old in college. And,
excellent.
I worked at WLFE in Miami, 90.9 Life FM, but they were things changed there, and a new station came, a Spanish speaking station. So I reached out to you all here, thank you for making this opportunity available. The Religious Liberty Report, which I publish on a weekly, usually, hopefully, weekly basis, it deals with religious liberties issues, and we try to help people address complex questions to help engage family and friends in conversations regarding religious liberty, what it is, and how Christians might need to step up at times or sometimes step back. It's not always political engagement or whoever's in the White House that will solve the problems. Sometimes, however, you have to be active and you have to engage your community. And that means reaching out to believers and unbelievers on issues that are so pertinent today. You know, a lot of issues regarding sexuality, the family, life. So we try and cover it from a legal point of view. I'm an attorney, which helps me to read the decisions and keep up with the changes in the law, because so much of this is legal. So I'm here, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to share with you the Religious Liberty Report, which is usually a half hour. We have a podcast where you can listen at your own time on your favorite podcatcher, because some people will want to later maybe hear a program again.
Sure.
Or follow up. So again, thank you for this tremendous opportunity.
So we're really blessed to have you joining us because of the significance and importance of addressing various issues and having someone speak from a biblically balanced perspective with biblical truth and also with wisdom and understanding of the issues that are at hand. I believe it was the tribe of Issachar. They were kind of commended because they understood the day they lived in. And we in the church need to understand the day that we live in, understand the strategies that are perhaps in place against the kingdom of God, and how we as Christians can best be equipped to minister to others. And just you're starting by saying you were introduced to Christ when you were young and it was on the campus that talks about the importance of those ministries continuing today. So we're really blessed to have you with us. So the name of your program is going to be?
The Religious Liberty Report. And again, we know that sometimes we're told not to talk about religion and politics, and we do exactly that.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
I'm kind of, if I may just interject, because I'm excited about what you're doing and going to be doing, especially now there's a resurgence of interest in the Constitution and the connectivity of the Constitution to our liberties in general, but religious liberty in particular.
Yes, it's a big subject. There's a vast political and social movement that thinks that the Christian worldview is outdated and wrong. And we know that for believers, faith isn't just for Sunday mornings. It affects every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we acknowledge that we may have different opinions, and we have conflicting opinions oftentimes. You know, we may not agree with what some people say or believe, but we believe they have the right to say it. And to believe it. Religious liberty ultimately comes down to free will. Jesus himself never forced anyone into faith. Mm. I often cite the rich young ruler. You know, he said, follow me, but he didn't. And Jesus let him go.
Yeah.
And so religious liberty deals with many faiths or no faith.
Mm.
The nons, I think, that, you know, are a growing sector. And we have non-discrimination as a great American principle, and also we have religious freedom, you know, the right to live out our religion in the marketplace, in the public square. And oftentimes, values are clashing, and principles are coming into tension and into conflict. And we, as Christians and as Americans, we need to sort through these issues and sit down and see if we can uphold both where we can, you know, and where we can't, know why and be able to explain our Christian worldview in a wholesome, winsome manner. And that's what the Religious Liberty Report tries to do.
Wow. You know, Alexander, in our community where this station is actually located in Martin County in the city of Stewart, we just had what I believe is an amazing showing of unity in the body of Christ, which I'll tell you, 30 years ago, that wasn't happening here. 20 years ago, it wasn't happening here, not as it is now. But before the city commission, an ordinance was on the table, to introduce prayer as the opening agenda item. And a local attorney from our community, as he remembered, it was in the 60s, maybe 1960 or in the 60s, since there has been a part of the agenda, an opening time of prayer. Well, this became a bit of an issue, and people stood on both sides of the fence, mostly in our community. I believe it was by far the largest number. There may have been 10 in opposition, but people spoke from their heart. They prayed. You know, this was a public meeting. It was awesome. And someone said, this is kind of like church, you know, and I thought, what an amazing freedom we have, wherein you can have atheists in the room. We had humanists in the room. I didn't even know we had humanists by organization, you know. Oh, yes, we're humanists. We have an organization. We're in Stewart. Humanists were there, and they spoke against prayer in starting meetings. And even from the commission, there was one or two rather strong comments against it. But eventually, after a few meetings, the decision was Monday night this week that once again, prayer is going to be a part of the agenda in the city of Stewart. Now, this came about because a Christian commissioner was recently voted in. He's a new commissioner. And he's kind of a live wire. I'd kind of hoped he would show up here today. He might be a good guy for you to connect with. He's a great guy. Intelligent. He's a doctor of chiropractic. He's a, you know, professional. But he just sat there, you know, and he said, I looked around and I thought, why aren't we opening with prayer? This meeting should be opened with prayer. We do it in the school boards. We do it in the county. We do it in the capital. Why aren't we doing it in the city of Stewart? And so here's a commissioner that, you know, in talking with him, He said, you know, many times we have meetings and no one shows up to the meetings. You know, we're making decisions that affect everyone. And where is the church? And so this is one of those things, Alexander, you know, when we think about the law, we think about the freedoms we have and the opportunities we have. There is a great open door for Christians today to get actively involved in our local communities. And to me, it's get the salt out of the shaker. You know, let's get the salt out of the shaker and back into the world, and let's bring Christ back into our daily lifestyle. Now, it sounds like we have, is this Commissioner Collins? Commissioner Collins, can you send him on through? Or does he want me to call him?
Well, he's on my phone.
No, I don't want him on your phone. I want him on the station phone. Give me a number and I'll call him. This is the commissioner I'm talking about. And so we just thank God for the body of Christ that came together. There were a number of pastors. And back 25, 30 years ago, I was in the city and I remember repeated meetings. I couldn't get one pastor to stand with me. And the other night, you know, we have a mixture of different denominations, different leaders. Is he calling in?
He wants to know if he should come in 15 minutes.
Just have him call right now. Have him call us.
Okay.
And pass him through. And so it's pretty exciting. And we do have Amy with us. And Amy, you are a Martin County School Board member.
Correct. I have a little laryngitis, but I'll speak slow and clearly.
Okay, let's start over again. So because I was talking, I didn't have your mic on. I want to welcome you, Amy. And Amy, you are, is it Pritchett?
Pritchett, P-R-I-T-C-H-E-T-T.
Pritchett. And you are a wonderful part of our community. We're going to talk with you some more in the second half.
Great.
But I want to just welcome you. And do you have a political background, or how did you get involved in pursuing running for the school board?
When they had COVID,
okay,
and they masked our children,
okay,
I was very upset, in addition to wanting us masked as well.
Okay.
So I started going to Board of County Commission meetings.
They
Praise dropped God. The mandate, but they kept it in the school.
Okay.
Kids went to school with masks on. It infuriated me, and I decided, what better way to make change than to run? And I did, and I won. I beat an incumbent who has deep roots in the community. His brother, David Anderson, is the longest serving school board, along with someone else, in Key West for 32 years. And a school is named after him in Martin County. So I was up against a large pushback, but I stood my ground. I got my message out, and my message was individual freedom, parental rights,
yeah,
and allowing parents to make those decisions about their children, not a governmental body.
All right, that's awesome. And so you were actually pulled
My
out of silence.
Pulled.
Your heart was pulled out of silence, and you were brought in. I believe we have Commissioner Collins with us on air now. Commissioner Collins, welcome.
Thank you. Yes.
So what happened this week?
Yeah. Wow. How about that? For anybody that was watching, our city commission is now going to be praying.
Congratulations.
Our meetings. Hey, yeah.
Wow.
Amazing. Yes. Huge, huge thanks to everybody who listened and sent in emails and called and showed up and spoke. To everybody who did that, thank you so much. Thank you for the prayers. It made a huge difference. It was really, really powerful to watch, to be in that meeting and watch things, God working all of that ultimately to a yes vote. So thank you all so much.
Well, Commissioner Collins,
prayer works. Yeah.
You have been really awesome in making your time available. I know you're a doctor as well, a chiropractor, and in town, and you also wear many hats. You would love being in the studio today. We have Amy Pritchett with us from the Martin County School Board.
Amy's the best.
Okay. She's here. And her voice is probably a little less than normal. But listen, you mentioned something at one point, and I'd like you at least to just say something about it.
Sure.
I don't know how much time you have. But I believe I heard you say that there are many meetings where there's just one or two people that are there at commission meetings. What is the opportunity available for Christians who are in the community to have a voice in local government? I mean, how important is that, and is that door cracked or is it wide open?
So I would love to have, you know, I'm hoping that's one of the effects of this whole conversation about prayers that got a lot of us to pay attention to what's happening in our municipal government. You know, whether it's city or county or school board, whatever you feel compelled to be involved in, we need more voices of reasonable people that are believers, that have eyes to see, ears to hear. And I would love to have all of you in that room that, you know, feel led to speak to what's, it may not necessarily be prayer that's on the agenda, right? But these are all decisions we make that affect the quality of life, you know, traffic, what is being built. You know, these are all decisions that require a well-rounded conversation, and to have Christians, good people in that room that have good ideas that can help just create an overall better quality of debate and conversation. We need your voice, because like you mentioned, I had said, sometimes there's, including the commissioners, the, you know, staff and city attorneys, city managers, there might be 10 people in that room that are setting policy, making, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, $50 million decisions for 20,000 people. And there's just 10 of us in there. So we need more voices to be involved.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a guest today with me who is going to be bringing a new program to WCNO, Commissioner Collins, and his name is Alexander, and he is an attorney. And, you know, one thing I'd like to see us have more of is more involvement as we had in this meeting continue. I'd like to see more of
exactly.
this continue.
Yes.
So, Alexander, have you had any mix with the body of Christ in regards to local government and
sure.
how Christians can show up and have a voice?
Oh, yeah. I'll give you an easy testimony so that you can see it for yourself. In 2021, the Miami-Dade School Board voted 7-1 declaring October 2021 as LGBTQ History Month. Just 1 year later, after mobilization of Christian concerned parents and the Christian community, a historic turnaround victory for parental rights and children's protection, the Miami-Dade School Board voted 8-1 against rejecting
wow.
October mm-hmm. as LGBTQ mm-hmm. History Month. So that's an example of how it's wide open when concerned parents and Christians first learn about the, sometimes the agenda is hard to come by, to know what they're even arguing mm-hmm. about or talking about. You know, finding out what's going to be on the agenda can be a big assignment. So we try to bring attention to different school boards, different city commissions, and yes, it's spreading to the point where parents can make their voices heard, and they could change the outcome, as we see radically from 1 year to the next. 2021 to 2022, the Miami-Dade County School Board reversing itself dramatically on the issue, a very important issue to parents and to the Christian community.
That's tremendous. That's tremendous. Well, Christopher, we want to thank you for, you know, not being ashamed and standing up for what you personally believe in. And as someone said at the meeting, and I believe they said it very appropriately when they said, we elected you because of who you are, not just for what you have to say. Politicians and preachers and a lot of others may say a lot of words, but who are you? Who do you really represent? And so we thank God that you represent a lot of great people in the city of Stuart. We have an awesome city. But you also personally are representative of Jesus Christ. Thank you for not putting a basket on your witness. We appreciate it.
Thank you. And I also wanted to say thank you to the churches, to the pastors that did show up. It was awesome. Really, really powerful to see so many different congregations represented and, you know, willing to take the time to sit there for hours through, you know, that whole proceedings to be able to speak to prayer. And just know you all made a difference, and that's the body of Christ in action. And thank you all so much for being in the mix and being actively working to take back territory and not just saying it on Sunday.
Good word. Good word. All right. Anything else you want to share with all of your friends, new friends that are listening to you on WCNO?
I just look forward to being on here with you in the future. So
good deal.
Keep people informed about what's going on. You just let me know when you have time and we'll make it happen. I'm in.
Listen, we want to talk to the body of Christ about being healthy too. That would be okay, right? You know a little bit about that.
Absolutely. You let me know when.
All right. Good deal. Blessings. We'll be in touch. Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, guys.
Blessings.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. Well, hallelujah.
Yeah, I will resonate with that. Ooh, that's great.
This is some fresh new levels, I believe, of relationship, of breakthrough, and of impact. You know, so many times, as I've sat with other leaders in the community, we've had these conversations. One comes to mind with one of the key pastors in the area back about 7-8 years ago. He said, you know, we've been ministering here almost our whole life, but the spiritual climate has not shifted much. But today, the spiritual climate is shifting. And spiritual leaders are coming out of the shadows and are connecting with one another and are beginning to recognize when we all pull together. It was a kid's song we sang in Sunday school. You know, when we all pull together, there's a tremendous opportunity for the Spirit of God to be released on a region. And we are praying and believing God for that. Alexander, we're looking forward to having you on air.
Thank you.
With us. I did listen to some of your podcasts, and I found them well-researched. I found them well-presented and a good, biblically balanced perspective. I like the fact that from your presentation, you are able to bring in differing thoughts and sort of maybe shake them through some biblical truth to find out where maybe where things could or should stand. And I found that beneficial because I know we have listeners of pretty much every faith that listen to this station. Mm-hmm. We have a huge audience, and we cover, as we've discussed, we reach into what, 10 counties, David?
Actually, almost 11. Well, not almost, 11.
We're into 11 counties.
Pretty 11 close.
It's close. Yeah, about 30% of Florida's population is in South Florida, and we reach most of those folk. About 7 million, I mean, potential listeners.
And people travel in and out of the area, you know, for sure. And so what did you say? How many million are potentially
reaching?
About
between 7 and 7.5 million people
within that area.
This area within our broadcast realm. Yeah.
So this is a tremendous thing.
Absolutely.
We are going to go to a song at this time, and Karen is going to tell us who these brassy people are. They're not brassy people. Yeah, it's King's Brass.
King's Brass.
Tell us about King's Brass, Karen.
Yeah, King's Brass, founded by Tim Zimmerman in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He was a trumpet player, and I guess he used to teach and teach young people, you know, brass instruments. And then he said the Lord just dropped it in his spirit to just start gathering people, you know, brass and doing performances. So I believe he said he's 45 years he's been doing it.
Wow. Yep.
And then every year he's got several different, it's never the same group. He may have someone that stays with him for a year, and then they go off somewhere else, and then he's always recruiting new people. They're kids that are coming out of college and, you know, that are in bands and stuff, but he goes around the churches, he does... I think he's been to Carnegie Hall, I believe, or some of the Philharmonic.
the elite performance arenas, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's, I mean, excellent, just that's excellent level, yes. And anyway, but he loves Jesus. He has a heart for the Lord. He's got a heart for the church. And he, you know, just travels around all year long.
And he is going to be here when?
He will be here tonight.
Tonight.
7 p.m. at the Hope Sound Bible Church at the college campus there. And it really, you know, I did not like brass instruments. That's not my favorite part. And I'm not afraid to say that. But when I...
Even after I picked on you last time.
Yes, you did.
I did.
But I you know, I went to the concert, and I only heard about him because my brother and sister-in-law, who live in Indiana, have a business relationship with Tim. That was the only way I would have ever heard about him. And anyway, so when they came, my brother had said, oh, he's going to be in Hope Sound, you know, and I live in Hope Sound. And so I went a few years back, and I was just like in tears. I was so amazed. I mean, just so professional, and just they really put on a very entertaining show. They honor the military. They do hymns. They do modern songs, contemporary songs, all kinds of different things. So I would just encourage you, you know, that you too, if you are not a brass instrument follower, you could become a convert.
But, tonight.
Yes, and it's a free concert.
Free concert, 7 o'clock tonight at Hope Sound Bible Church, Hope Sound Bible Church in Hope Sound, Florida. You can pull that right up on any of your smartphones, or it's definitely available there. But Hope Sound Bible Church, 7 p.m. this evening, King's Brass. It's going to be a free concert, a great concert. In fact, we are moving our Bible study group tonight out of a home and down to Hope Sound Bible Church, where we're going to be a participant along with many others enjoying King's Brass. So put that on your schedule. If you're saying, boy, I'd really like to do something special, this is a great opportunity to get involved. We're going to go to one of their songs. We're going to be back in just a minute. Ma and Paul are going to be with us, and then, Amy, you are going to be on. So we're looking forward to hearing a little bit about her story, how, again, she got involved. She shared with us a little bit of some of the frustrations during the COVID challenge that we had. And of course, I'd like to know a little more about how the school board operates and what kind of demands they put on her, and if other Christians can find a place in their local community, get involved in serving Jesus that way as well. Stay with us. Wednesday Live. you have it. King's Brass going to be in. Well, there was a little more to it. Yeah. They did get the last word with that. They are going to be in concert. Hope Sound Bible Church, Hope Sound, Florida, tonight, 7 p.m. Free concert. Great opportunity to link up with the body of Christ. Alexander, again, great to have you with us. Looking forward to your program coming to WCNO. And your new program is going to be entitled The Religious Liberty Report.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right.
That will be a weekly?
As often as you'll have me. But yes, weekly seems to be right.
Weekly program?
Yeah, like a news briefing of religious liberty news, developments, and a lot going on both locally and nationally. I guess I could say locally, statewide, and nationally.
That's awesome.
On those three
That's
levels.
Looking for a 30-minute program or a one-hour program? What are you looking for?
I think 30 minutes is the right
I think 30 minutes
slot.
Is good.
Yes,
okay.
sir. Yes,
good.
sir.
Good. That's
yeah.
good. All right, so we're talking in this... second half of the hour, we're talking with Amy Pritchett, and Amy is with the Martin County School Board. And before we do that, Alexander, you had something to share with us, I think, just sort of to kick off this second half.
Yeah, well, the report really addresses, bottom line, a cultural paradigm shift that we all recognize is upon us, a progressive secular agenda that is a secular humanist pluralistic agenda, and the church is really just coming to grips with this this huge paradigm shift in our culture. You know, yesterday we had a safety net, a Judeo-Christian safety net that surrounded our culture, our communities, whether one was Christian or not. You know, it was an inherent element of the cultural backdrop in this country. But today, that net of protection that we once had is fading, or even gone in some places, and even resented. And so not long ago, people respected the Bible, you know, as having wisdom for life today. But we're in a very different culture now. And these are the type of subjects we try to address on the report, subjects such as freedom of speech, freedom of religion, a cornerstone of our democratic way of life here. But today in America, freedom of religion is facing increasing attacks. We see it in aggressive attempts to censor speech and banish the Christian worldview from the public square, the marketplace. We see cases of bakers and website designers being compelled to engage in conduct and speech that goes against their sincerely held religious beliefs. We see governments weaponizing the law against Christians. And all this is creating a climate of uncertainty in our nation. And a recent poll found that over 60% of Americans are scared to talk about their political views, their Christian worldview. And this is the type of subject matter we try to raise on the report so that we can be alert to this.
Awesome. All right, back to you, Amy. Now, so... 2 years ago, 5 years ago, you had no plans of being on a school board.
I ran for the school board in New York in the 90s.
Okay, so this is something that you were conscious of and you've had a heart to watch. And okay.
I've always had a heart for the children. I lost by 5 votes.
5 votes.
Wow. Yeah.
Boy, that says something to the people who say, hey, my vote doesn't count, right? And it doesn't matter. This is how important it is. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I was always active in my community.
Okay.
I went to meetings in our community as well, the town boards.
Sure.
The land decisions. And we had a chemical company come into our little community, and they wanted to manufacture BTX, which is the same chemical that comes out of lawnmowers. And they wanted to produce it in a factory in the middle of a residential area.
Hmm.
I teamed with many residents. It was a team effort. We got them out. They would not approve their contract or what they wanted to do. They went to Texas, and 6 months later, the plant that they were building blew up.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Silsby, Texas. So that was my big claim to fame in New York. And when I came here, we came right before COVID.
Okay.
So I was getting the lay of the land, and I stumbled upon the masks very early, and I saw that people were opening their mouths and saying, this isn't right. We have freedoms. You're taking them away governmentally. You have no right to do that. And I got involved.
So God touched your heart.
God touched my heart.
Tell us a bit of your God story so we know where you're coming from.
Sure. So I actually was raised in a Jewish family. Both my parents were Jewish. In my early 20s, I was married to a man who was Episcopal, and we started going to his church because I wasn't really connecting with the Jewish faith. My dad had been ostracized from his congregation for letting my brother marry a Catholic girl.
Ah.
So there was a lot of hurt there, and he said, I'm done with that. We'll do the rituals. We'll celebrate Christmas. We'll celebrate Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. We'll celebrate Passover.
We'll do all of it, right?
We were like Heinz 57.
Sure.
For a long time, I was just like bewildered with faith. I knew it was there. I knew there was a higher power, but I just wasn't connecting. And when I came down here, my next door neighbor was active in the Revived Church. And I saw her family, and they're like family to us now. Three little girls. She homeschools. They're very faithful to God.
It's awesome.
And she kept saying, you should just come. You should just come. And I kicked myself for waiting so long because it washed over me so quickly. And last February of 2021, I was baptized and accepted Jesus Christ as
praise
my Savior.
God. Praise God. Awesome. 2021. This is awesome. This is another thing. Talk to your neighbors, right? Invite them. That's powerful. That's powerful.
And I'm very active in the church. I'm still learning. I'm still new. But I know the Holy Spirit is in me. He speaks to me. I know He's got me.
Yeah.
I know God has me.
Yeah.
And I know my faithful people have me as well. So
it's not religious, it's relationship.
No, it's
all about
it's
that.
Relational. Amen. And it grows.
So you ran for school board?
I did.
So you got up one morning and said, I'm running for school board. I've only been here a year or however long, and I'm going to run for school board. How do you do that?
Well,
I mean, that's like, I've never woke up and said, I think I'll run to be a commissioner, or I never had that thought.
I started attending meetings because of the masks.
Okay.
And I saw up on the dais who was representing us, and there was a faction that wasn't representing us. And I thought to myself, you can sit on the sidelines and whine and complain, or you can do something.
Good point.
And I went in like all in, and I had so much support from my church.
Excellent.
From the community.
Excellent.
From my husband, most
Excellent.
Of all, and my neighbors.
Excellent.
And I knew it was an uphill climb because I was really running against someone who was a legacy.
Right.
His family was a legacy.
Yeah.
And I have nothing against him personally, but as far as how he saw where education should go in our district, we were on polar opposite sides. And I felt we needed a correction. And we're getting it.
That's
getting
awesome.
A correction.
That's awesome. Amy, I was there with several other pastors and a lot of believers back when there was this push to have a month of education, recognition of the LGBTQ community. And, sitting there and looking at people that I know and people who carry the name of Christ in the word Christian, but yet were silent on some of the issues. And there was a secular agenda that manipulated and ran the show out of, acceptance.
Tolerance.
Yeah, all of this. And I remember leaving that night saying, Father, how is the lost world going to ever know what truth is if we who have been transformed by the love of God and the truth of your word, if we do not stand up and speak up?
Right.
How is that ever going to happen? And so I thank God that you're there. And we did have a bit of a flip, didn't we?
Yes. Well, the board member who pushed forward that month-long agenda was beaten by someone else who stepped in, Jen Russell. And what I'm learning throughout this experience is that once your fellow board members are not supportive of something that you're trying to drive to them, and the majority of people are not subscribing to that, you need to let it go, yeah, because you're going to get less and less support, even from the community, because you just look like an irate person.
Yeah, right.
And that's what happened. Yeah. So she actually chose not to run again because she basically stated that she wasn't being welcomed with her thought.
So what is the process? I mean, for somebody that might be listening today, maybe someone in education, someone that has a professional background and is interested in making a difference, what did you have to do? Just kind of walk us through the ABCs,
sure,
real quick.
So I went down to the Board of Elections, Vicki Davis and Debbie Dent. They're on Martin Luther King Boulevard. And I sat down with them. They gave me a folder with all the necessary paperwork, which includes you have to establish a bank account. You have to have the ability to basically show everyone what you're spending at all times.
So there's accountability.
You need a treasurer.
There's some accountability.
So my husband was my treasurer.
Well.
And I had to get business cards, and I had to get signage, and that required donations.
Sure.
So I had a friend from Revive Church. He was my website guy.
Oh, good.
And he gave it to me in kind.
Wow.
So he produced an invoice of how much his time and effort was worth. And
so
that
God just lifted you up and worked with you to provide the budget and the necessary...
Sure, and you have to subscribe to the rules.
Yeah.
You must document.
Yeah.
You must not take money from any source that you can't put on paper.
Yeah.
And I had the lowest donation. Yeah,
you
I had 14,000. The largest was 65,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, so God just put you in there.
Yeah.
So what would you say to other people that maybe have the heart where your heart was, just saying, listen, something should be done about this?
Well, I said from the beginning, anyone who's interested, I want to sit down with you. I want you to come and talk to me. I know there's other, I can't speak for anyone else. I'm one of five, but I was generously spoken to from other board members during this journey. They told me what I needed to do. I would say, don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. Come and sit. Maybe you won't, but maybe someone you know will. And go for it, because sitting on the sidelines doesn't do it anymore. It just doesn't work, and we know that. We see it. And the people who are silent, they're making a statement too. The people who won't come out and support but feel the way that we do, I'm sorry, but you can't do that anymore. You must be heard.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, Alexander, I'm going to throw something at you, because I threw a request out to Amy, and this will probably be another show. But I was hopeful to get maybe more than one commissioner or more than one school board person. And the question is raised about the Sunshine Law, right?
Correct. You can't be in, you cannot be in a room with other board members if anything you speak about could come on a future agenda.
So really?
I can speak to things as me, not represent,
as an individual.
But if you're in a room and say you brought up a question about something you saw on an agenda,
right,
neither one of us would have been able to answer you under Sunshine. Because it looks like a collaboration. Even if it's just two out of five, it's Sunshine. And any committee that we ask people to go on, the Sunshine extends to them as well. They can't speak about decisions that they make with anybody but themselves or someone in the community. You cannot speak to another board member about it.
You have any experience with this?
Well, these are rules of professional ethics and governance, and even in the courtroom it extends to judges, where judges can't have conversations with the lawyers independent of the judicial proceedings.
Correct.
In order to not taint the process and avoid the impression of collusion or otherwise not being fully transparent with the process. And that's why they, I guess they call it sunshine. The sunshine light on all discussions, let them be of record, no backroom dealings or under the table negotiations or discussions that can taint the process.
But if we had a topic of stirring up faith, motivating believers, educating, equipping believers to know how to get involved in the process, could we not have multiple members come together if there's an agenda set that has nothing to do with school board, that just has to do with general laws?
The only thing I would caution is that faith may come on the agenda at some point. There may be someone in the community that wants God back in the classroom, and we would have to make that decision. So we would just have to tread very carefully.
So any reference to faith could be become something you could get attacked by?
Not attacked. What I'm saying is whatever could appear on an agenda.
Okay.
So in the course of our workshops and our school board meetings, if someone from the community, say you came and said, can we talk about getting God back in the classroom? It would then be up to the board to determine whether that would be an agenda item or the superintendent. Gotcha. So we just have to be, it isn't that we can't talk about our faith, it's that if we're talking about something that could be a decision later on, you already have knowledge of how the people feel, so you could get an idea of how they would vote.
Right.
And that would not be in the sunshine.
Got it.
That would be out of the sunshine, the shade.
One thing I'd like, Alexander, one thing in the future, you know, that I would like to see us as a radio station be able to do is to, you know, even when people are running for office, because I remember back when you were running, and we've been really careful, and we want to continue to be sensitive to all of our listeners. But there has to be some kind of a forum or format where we could welcome whoever wants to come. Both, you know, whether it's my, whether I agree with them or I don't agree with them, but to bring the differing, invite the maybe opposing persons, but to bring them in for on-air discussion, because I really desire to stir up more than just one side of presentation at a time. I think some Christians, they're watching the news, but they may not know how to address that specific thing. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, we can't stay on the sidelines. We must be engaged. Our faith requires that. At the same time, we have to follow the rules. If we don't, our council member could be disqualified.
Which we do not.
And we don't want her disqualified. We don't want any issues. And as a nonprofit, we have to be very careful to not endorse one candidate over the other, but there are ways to do it without violating the law, and maybe we can dedicate some time to that in the future.
That's something that I know, David, part of your heart is to make sure that there is godly wisdom that addresses issues of the day, and that's one reason why I'm excited about Alexander joining our lineup here. I believe it's going to be a great great program to link up with what we already have on WCNO.
Amen.
Amy, we're almost out of time. What else would you like to share with our listeners?
Just to not sit on the sidelines, get involved, come to the meetings, just what Chris talked about.
Yeah.
If there's nothing interesting on the agenda, the room is empty. But that's when you probably get some valuable conversation.
Okay.
Now, people can watch it online, but I think it's better in person. And thank you for having me. I'd love to come back.
Thank you for joining us. Karen, you've been silent.
Yes, I have. And the only comment I have is what I spoke to earlier, that the church has lent new meaning to come out from among them, where the church has been in hiding and not involved. And then now we've got to get involved, everybody on whatever level.
Amen.
You know, and not sit on the sidelines.
One quick is just, you know, God does not want to be in politics, but he does want to be in government.